Welcome to Project I Am with Dr. David Schloss. Grab your coffee, green tea, or smoothie. Find your favorite listening spot or put on your walking shoes. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Project I Am. It's so good to have you here with me today. This is the space where we tell the truth about being human, and we keep looking for the light that shows up anyway and guides us home. I'm Dr. David Schloss, and today we're exploring belonging. Not as a trend or a productivity hack, but merely as a long walk home. We'll draw from wisdom from various writers. You know, we'll look at Toka Pauterna, from poets and elders like Maya Angelou, bell hooks, John O'Donohue, and James Baldwin, also Henry Nouwen and Parker J. Palmer. And we'll also look at the public health wake-up call of our time. So, if you're ready, grab that coffee or tea, snuggle up on the edge of the sofa, or put on your walking shoes. It's time to begin. But before we do, here's the disclaimer.
This podcast is created for educational and inspirational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional mental health services, diagnosis, or treatment. Although Dr. Schloss is a licensed mental health professional, listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship. The content shared here is intended to support your personal development and mental wellness journey, but it should not be considered medical or psychological advice tailored to your individual situation. If you are in need of therapeutic support, please seek help from a qualified mental health provider in your area. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact a local crisis line or emergency services immediately. Views expressed by any guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect views of Dr. Schloss or the views of Project I Am.
Hello and welcome back. I know that I've been talking about loneliness and isolation quite a bit lately, but I think that's because I'm seeing so much of it and I'm so aware of how dangerous it is, how problematic it is. The Surgeon General called loneliness and isolation a public health epidemic with risks comparable to smoking daily and clear links to anxiety, depression, heart disease, and early mortality. Now, that language is kind of stark on purpose, because it says that this ache you feel isn't a private failing, but rather it's a signal. It is your life asking to be woven back into the rest of you. The World Health Organization reached the same conclusion in 2025, elevating social connection as a global priority. What does that mean for us? It means that belonging is not an accessory emotion. It's not fluff, it's not tinsel, it's not glitter, but it is a basic need in the very core of who we are. It is a basic infrastructure for a human life. And yet this belonging is about more than proximity, because you can stand in a crowded room and still feel exiled. You can wear the jersey at the football game, you can know the chants, and still sense that your presence is conditional. Because what you want is not an audience, but you want a place that can bear your weight, where your joys are not reduced and your sorrows are not denied. Researchers Mark Leary and Roy Baumeister called this the need to belong and said that it is a foundational human motivation, because we are built for bonds that last. John O'Donohue, the poet and theologian, says, our bodies know that they belong. It is our minds that make our lives so homeless. And as I listen to that line, it really lands hard like a bell. We recognize it because our bodies remember. When you're in a safe space with people that you trust, when you feel that all of you is accepted and seen, something happens in your body. Your shoulders drop. Your breathing deepens. Your body knows that you are being received well. The body says, I'm home, before the tongue can even form a word. I've been reading a lot by Toka Par Turner in her book Belonging, Remembering Ourselves Home, and in her book she reframes exile as initiation. She says that this loneliness and longing we feel is an opportunity to come home to ourselves and to initiate us on the path of belonging. Many of us learned to tuck away parts of ourselves. The parts of ourselves, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of my childhood and the drama queen that I was so often, the attention needer, getter. You know, we were told so often that we were too tender, too intense, too strange, too loud, too big. And when we received those messages, we went looking for rooms where those parts wouldn't cost us love. And some of us found them, but many of us didn't. And we landed up in places where, in order to belong, we had to exile, cut off, abdicate parts of ourselves. And when we do that, it causes a sense of a kind of false belonging. Anytime you have to shrink in order to belong, anytime you had to cut off parts of yourself in order to be part of something, it causes a false belonging, and it doesn't satisfy because not all of you is present and seen. As Toka Par Turner says, false belonging offers conditional membership, requiring us to cut parts of ourselves off in order to fit in. Wow. And so I'm curious, as you think about it, what parts of yourself did you need to shrink in order to belong somewhere? What parts of yourself did you need to cut off in order to be accepted? In her book, Turner's Invitation is Fierce and Kind, she says it is time to come home to the exiled parts, not to parade them, but to honor them as the very medicine our lives require. In her work, she braids myth, dream, and story, and it suggests that our nights carry letters from the self we keep postponing. She talks about dreams a lot and how our needs show up in our dreams. And one of the things that she says that I really loved is this. She said, "We are not inventing belonging, but we are remembering it." There's something about that phrase that resonates so deeply. Additionally, she says, at the very heart of belonging is the word long. To be long is to stay with it for the long haul. Because belonging is duration. It is fidelity to the self and to the people and places entrusted to us. It's not performance, it's patience. And sometimes that journey begins with the courage to leave what no longer honors us. And so, as you consider that, the idea of leaving what no longer honors you, what comes to mind for you? Is it a relationship, a job, a friendship? A space? Where have you had to cut off a part of yourself in order to be accepted? Where have you had to shrink yourself in order to fit in? Where are you still engaged with something that doesn't honor you? And what is your body telling you? We're going to transition to something that Maya Angelou said. She gave us a sentence for the ages when she said, "You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all." And so when she says this, Maya Angelou isn't praising rootlessness, but rather, in this 1973 conversation with Bill Moyers, she's naming the paradox of freedom. When we belong to ourselves, We carry a sanctuary that cannot be revoked by vote, by fashion, or gatekeeper. I want to say that again. When we belong to ourselves, we carry with us a sanctuary that cannot be revoked by anything or anyone, and that interior sanctuary becomes the ground from which we choose our communities with clarity rather than desperation. Brené Brown builds on this, and she says that true belonging isn't fitting in. Rather, she describes it as belonging so fully to yourself that you are willing to stand alone. Belonging so fully to yourself that you are willing to stand alone. Alone in a wilderness that is not a punishment, but is a sacred place. That claim resonates with the generation leaving performance behind for a more authentic life. Because as Brené Brown continues to say, true belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. Maybe it's just where I'm at the moment and with what's going on in me. But I'm curious for you, how does that land? As you hear, true belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. Parker J. Palmer adds a companion truth. Solitude and community are equal and opposite needs. Separated, they decay into loneliness and conformity, but held together, they become a lifeline for integrity. The self that you bring to the table is not a brand, but is a living, undivided person. Another author, Bell Hooks, says the following. Bell Hooks dreamed of a culture of belonging and called us to build beloved community, not by erasing differences between us, but by honoring them, honoring someone's right to choose differently to us. To use her words, beloved community is made by recognition for difference, without attaching difference to privilege. And I love that because it's not just a sentiment. It asks for power to be shared, stories to be welcomed, and for each of us to give each other space to flourish. Audre Lorde, she also sharpened the point and said, it is not our differences that divide us, but it is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. Again, it is not our differences that divide us, but it is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. In around 24, 25, somewhere around there, the conversation resurfaced in pop culture with Inside Out 2. Remember that movie? It was a good movie. It was moving. Maybe you cried at the end. But it's all about adolescence. And adolescence, at the end of the day, is a laboratory for belonging. In this movie, the new emotions, anxiety, embarrassment, envy, ennui, reminded us that identity seeking is a storm, not a spreadsheet. Psychologists behind the film underlined a truth that we see in therapy every day. The urge to trade authenticity for acceptance is strongest exactly when you need self-acceptance the most. And I think about growing up and how when we are trying to survive as children, we sacrifice authenticity for the sake of relationship. In order to keep the relationships we have, in order to stay safe, we cut off parts of ourselves so that we're not rejected. And if we're not careful, those same adaptive behaviors continue with us into adulthood, continually cutting off part of who you are in order to belong. And at the end, what's left? Henry Nouwen speaks about safe spaces a lot, and he says the following: hospitality is the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend. That sentence dignifies classrooms, clinics, dinner tables, staff meetings. Free space does not mean boundaryless. It doesn't mean space that is so open that it doesn't have boundaries, but it means space that is brave. Brave to accept and welcome that which is other. It is where truth can be spoken without humiliation, and differences can be shared without dismissal. The truth is, there's always a price to this type of belonging. Belonging asks us to relinquish the counterfeit versions of ourselves that earned short-term safety. And that's asking for a lot. Belonging asks us to relinquish the counterfeit versions of ourselves that earned short-term safety. And the reason it's hard to give those up is because those counterfeit versions, they gave us access to a place that felt like belonging. Those counterfeit versions of ourselves kept us safe. Sure, it didn't allow us to be fully seen for all that we were or are, but it allowed parts of us to be seen. And so this price that we pay is huge, because it asks institutions to trade optics for repair, slogans for shared powers. It asks families to exchange secrecy for honest communication and real love. And this price is not cheap. But listen to James Baldwin as he's writing and wandering toward a home he often had to invent. He says, "The place in which I'll fit will not exist until I make it. The place in which I'll fit will not exist until I make it." You have to belong to yourself. You have to find a belonging within yourself before you can find a belonging with others. In his writing, Baldwin doesn't glamorize this labor. He simply refuses the lie that home is granted by gatekeepers, that belonging is created by gatekeepers. Because at the end of the day, belonging is co-created amongst us. It is not bestowed by any one person or group. It is co-created. It is an ecosystem of truth-telling, of care, and of responsibility that we build together. And we have opportunity to do this again and again throughout our lives. The public health stats I gave at the beginning of this talk reminds us that the stakes are literal. Chronic illness resulting in increased stroke risk in older adults is real. The pain, the depression, the anxiety of loneliness and isolation is real, and it has long-term implications. If we talk about belonging as if it's optional, that will not serve us, and our bodies, at the end of the day, will correct us. When the Surgeon General put social connection on the front page, when the World Health Organization created a commission on social connection, this wasn't just an abstract gesture, it was an admission, a huge admission. Basically, they were saying that we need each other or we break. We need each other or we will hurt. We will fall apart. And that's why campus leaders, faith communities, neighborhood organizers, and workplaces are relearning the old arts, the arts of gathering, of listening, of celebrating, of grieving, and of repairing. We've seen mainstream studios tell stories about feelings with the seriousness usually reserved for heroes in wars. We've watched boardrooms name belonging as a pillar of well-being, and we felt the relief of the small circle, the group chat, the book club, the choir, the recovery meeting, where somebody finally says, "Me too." And as we hear the "me too" from the people around us, the floor underneath us stops shaking. We give a longer exhale, and our body tells us that we're home. Let me leave a few lines with you for you to carry into the week. From John O'Donohue, "Our bodies know that they belong." From Maya Angelou, "You're only free when you belong no place and every place." By Bell Hooks, "We experience beloved community by affirmation and celebration of difference." By Brené Brown, "True belonging happens when you become who you are." From James Baldwin, "There is no place that I fit until I make it." If the world has taught you to mistrust your own edges, Toka Parturner would say, "Don't throw those parts away. Don't cut them off. Don't abdicate them, but bring them home." The parts that got labeled as too much or not enough might be bearing gifts that the rest of us can't live without. You see, that's the secret that nobody tells you. Your homecoming is not just for you. Your homecoming, your coming back to yourself, your reclaiming the abdicated and cut off parts of yourself is not just for you. When you come home to yourself, we, the rest of us, we get you back. We get to experience you. All of you. The best of you. The totality of you. So, as we end this time together, may your days be threaded with people who can carry your full weight. And may you be that person for someone else. May your workplaces become braver. Your classrooms become kinder. Your dinner tables freer. And if you find yourself in a wilderness season, remember, many roads to real belonging run right through that wilderness. May you celebrate. May you rediscover. May you recognize. May you welcome, receive, and celebrate all the parts of you. May you come home. I'm Dr. David Schloss. Thank you so much for listening to Project I Am. If this brief podcast stirred something, encouraged you at all, pass it on to a friend who could use a reminder that they too are not alone. Until next time, keep coming home to yourself. Keep grabbing the hand of somebody else and walking them home to themselves. May you be well.